Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I want to forewarn you, God showed me on how to illustrate this message tonight. And parents, just be prepared. But I want all the lights in the sanctuary to be turned off at this time. I hate darkness. I absolutely hate it. I have two things that I'm afraid of in life. One of those is dogs, you know. And the other is darkness. I made the grand mistake one time of watching a movie called Where the Red Fern Grows. And if you ever seen that movie, it's an old movie. It's about coon hunting. I watched it with my uncle one time, and I got so pumped up, and I said, Scott, let's go coon hunting. Now, let me remind you, I'm scared to death of dogs and darkness. What two ingredients do you need that are necessary for coon hunting? That is dogs and darkness. Needless to say, that trip did not last very long. Like a scared little boy, I did not leave the truck. I actually stayed by the barn light of my papa's barn to make sure that I did not want to venture out into the dark. I was scared. And I don't care to confess. I'm pretty transparent. I'm truthful. I'm honest. I'm still scared to death of dark. I'm getting better at dogs, but darkness, I just don't like it. I don't like going into a dark church. I know it's kind of weird, but I just don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't like darkness. I've had a night light my entire life. You can go ahead and laugh if you want. But some of y'all are on the same ass. I don't like it. You know what? I the last couple of weeks, I've done some research on what happens if you stay in darkness too long. You realize it affects your vision? This is obvious to some of you, but when you sit in darkness too long, you know, eventually, we've got a little light up here by the garland, but eventually, our eyes will be acclimated to the surroundings, and we'll get acclimated to this light, just the accessory light out in the foyer, and we'll be able to see at least clearly enough to get out. But I found where they did an experiment one time where they put people in absolute darkness and made them live there. The only thing they would do is get visited one time a day with food and water and enough things to live on, but they lived in total darkness. I found this to be interesting. They said after so long, not only does it affect your perception, but it affects your mind. You feel powerless. Because, you know what they say? Sometimes you can sit in darkness so long that you see things you don't want to see. Your mind will start playing tricks on you. You'll start seeing things that aren't real. Space, you know, I go out to the mines, the white gravel mines, and we're in there, and sometimes it's total darkness. And you feel like you're suffocating, even though the room is as large as this church. You feel as though you're in a room 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot, and you have nowhere to move because the darkness is surrounding you. Can I remind you, I hate darkness? After so long, you not only your perception is messed up and you feel powerless, but you have no peace because your sleep cycle gets messed up. You start staying awake for 36, 48 hours and sleeping for 12. You have no idea what time of day it is or when it is. Powerless. Your perception is wrong. There is no peace. Can I remind you, this is the exact way the world was before Christ came. It was total darkness. Spiritual darkness. Jews had brought God down to a form of legalism and formalism so much they did not appreciate who he really was. It was spiritually dark. No one had heard from God in 400 years. But then something happened. a light shone in the darkness. You say, what was that light? The light was who Zechariah was talking about here in Luke chapter 1. He said there would be a day come that the day spring would visit. Now I know if you read Luke chapter 1, the end of this chapter, you'll find that when Zechariah, when his tongue was closed because he was disobedient to God and did not believe what God was trying to tell him. But then the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit told him that the baby in his wife's womb would be, Elizabeth's womb would be named John the Baptist, and they finally came to him and he wrote on a tablet, his name is John. His tongue was unloosed. And at the end of Luke chapter 1, you'll find that he began to praise God for what he had done. And then he gave a prophecy over his own son, John the Baptist, that would make the way for the day spring. But then in the verses that I read to you, he said there would be a day spring that would visit them, that would be with them. The word visit doesn't mean that he would stop by and then leave. The word visit in the Greek actually means to care for, to provide for, and to live with. Aren't you thankful? And let me just remind you, guess who he was referring to? He was referring to the babe that was in Mary's womb in the very same room by the cousin Elizabeth. He was pointing to the one that John would point to on the shores that day when he would say, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He is the day spring. And when Zechariah said the day spring would visit us, he was pointing to the day when Jesus Christ would come, the light of the world. And aren't you thankful that in the midst of darkness, over 400 years of spiritual darkness, thank God the stars shine in the sky and it pointed the way to where Jesus was. That wasn't the light, but he was the light. He was the eternal day spring that wouldn't just come and leave. No, he came to stay. He came to stay and care for us and to provide for us and to live with us. Aren't you glad for the day spring? Go ahead and turn the lights back on. Let me remind you of a couple things. When the day spring came, he gave us light in darkness. And here's how he did it. Remember, He was the light to dispel all the darkness in the world. And John 3:19 says that the light was come and they didn't want the light. They spoke against the light. They loved darkness rather than light. But yet Jesus still came. And let me remind you that in the midst of spiritual darkness and can I just say, I don't know how I wasn't there, of course, before Jesus was born. I wasn't there in those 400-year span of time when it was spiritually dark. But can you imagine? Do you think it may be a little bit more spiritually dark today than it was back then? I don't know. It's hard to compare. But can you? I'm telling you, folks, it is dark right now. It is spiritually dark. But may I remind you, the light is still shining. The day spring is still here. The day spring. The light of the world is still here. He has come to destroy. Dispel the darkness. And in the midst of all of this, he's letting us know, if you're unsaved tonight, if you're living in the darkness of sin, aren't you glad tonight the day spring will visit you and he will dispel the darkness in your life and give you new life in Jesus. Through all of this, he's still shining bright. And the darker it gets, even though one little light may spring up, we can see it a lot clearer. Because of the darkness surrounding. A few days ago, we got the prayer chain call. And many of you got the prayer chain call as well. For Barb Williams. For her son, Chuck Williams. He was in a hospital with COVID. Pneumonias, several other things. Ketoacidosis. It was a critical situation. Not only for his life, but spiritually. Chuck would tell you he was spiritually dark. And he needed Jesus more than he needed anything. And even though Barb had contacted us and Kara had contacted us and wanted to make sure that we pray for his physical state, they wanted our church more than ever to pray for his soul. And Calvary called through the prayer chain. Many of you began to pray. We all began to pray. And we got the news just a couple of days ago. Kara texted us and said, I want you to see this. And it was a conversation between her and Chuck. And Chuck let her know that he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what, folks, in the midst of darkness, the day spring is still shining. May I also give you some great news. He is home. He is doing a lot better. And God has given him healing not only in his soul, but in his spirit and in his body. Thank God. Don't you tell me miracles can't still happen. Don't you tell me the light isn't still shining. The light's still shining. And the light gets rid of the darkness. I received a message this afternoon as I was just tying some things together in this message. And we got a young gentleman that's been coming, graduated with Abby at Northwest. His name is Paul Silas Mills, and he is grandson to Paul and Patty Mills that visit here quite often. And Paul Silas has been coming, and they've been sitting up in the balcony, and him and a friend. And he messaged me today just a sweet note. He said, I can't come tonight because I'm in self-quarantine. He said, but I just wanted to let you know I feel like I want to make Rubyville my home, and I want to join and become a member. And of course, I told him we don't necessarily have a book, a membership book. I said, but from now on, you're a part of us. And I welcomed him in, and he thanked me for that. But here's what he said. He said, I was in a dark place in my life, and the church has brought me out of that dark place. I'm telling you, the day spring's still shining. The day spring's still shining. He can dispel the light in the midst of darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. And may I remind you as well, that same experiment that I told you about just a few minutes ago, where they lived in darkness for so long. Do you know what they also say? That in a matter of seconds, once you're exposed to light, as long as it took for your eyes to acclimate, up to 45 minutes, your eyes can acclimate to the darkness. But in a matter of seconds, it'll take a few seconds, but in a matter of seconds, you'll be adjusted to the light when you're exposed to light. And I got something better than that. You remember when you were spiritually dark and you didn't think you'd ever get out of it, but one exposure to the light of Jesus Christ, and thank God it didn't take a second, it just took a moment of time, and thank God you were changed from darkness to light. Aren't you glad tonight for the day spring that dispels the darkness? The day spring gives us light in darkness, and I'll hurry. Just give me just a few more moments, but it also gives us light in times of death. Look at what he said in verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Here was the first part, to give them light that sit in darkness. And here's the second part, and in the shadow of death. He not only gives us light in darkness, but he gives us light in times of death. He brings light into the shadow of death. Our pastor mentioned today how overwhelmed we have been with death. And it's something we all have to face. He mentioned the verse today in the book of Hebrews. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But since the day spring has come, and since the light has come, when a child of God faces death, it's not a monster that we fear. It's a blessing that we can embrace. Because for the child of God, death is not the end. It's an entrance into eternal light. Amen. Hallelujah. And think of it this way. Paul, when he referred to death, when he spoke to Timothy, when he wrote to Timothy and said, the time of my departure is now at hand. That's how he spoke about death, a departure. That word departure is actually the Greek word analysis. And that word means this. It's the term that they would use, armies would use whenever their day was over and they would plant their tents. It was the same word used by sailors when they were setting sail to take a voyage. It's the same term that was used at travelers at the end of their journey, and they would put the horses back in the stall. It was the same word that legal professions used when they would free prisoners. That same word, the time of my departure. Paul wasn't saying this is something I dread, this is something that I fear. No, because the day spring has come, because the light shined on Damascus Road, and the light of God appeared in my heart. I don't have to fear my departure. Thank God it's just a journey that I'll take, and I'll end up on the other side. Aren't you thankful that the light of God dispels the darkness, but thank God it gives us blessing in times of death. Hallelujah. And all the funerals we have had, and we've had, I'm telling you, we've had some church services in these funerals lately. We had a church service yesterday. God's Spirit came down wonderfully. And Cal didn't mention it this morning, but I got to mention something that he said. They didn't have a floral arrangement on Kathy's casket, but they had a hat because she loved to wear hats. And Cal made the mention, and I have to repeat what he said. He said, "I'm glad they put the hat there, because when she got to heaven, she didn't wear a hat. Because if she wore a hat, God would have to take it off and put her crown on her." Amen. She didn't need a hat where she was going. She was going to get a crown. And what a joyous time we had yesterday, because Kathy Oxer knew the light. And I think just a few weeks ago when we planted Pam Sweeney over here, Ted, and how the light of God shined out upon us that day. It may have been raining, it may have been cold, and we were getting drenched out there, but you could still feel the light and the warmth of God's presence. Why? Because Pam Sweeney knew the day spring. She knew that it wasn't something to fear. It was something to embrace. It gives us light in darkness, light in death, and finally, in our hurry, it gives us light for direction. Look at what it said. To give them light to sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Proverbs 16:25 tells us that and teaches us that if we go in the way of man, it will lead us to death. And many today are following the way of man. And the way of man always leads to death and destruction. But when we are led by the light of God, God's light always points us in the right direction. Hallelujah. When we're saved, we get a couple of heavenly helpers to guide us. We have the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 tells us that the Spirit of God would guide us in truth. We also have the Word of God that tells us in Psalm 119:105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Referring to the foot lamps that people would wear, the lamp on the feet was actually a lamp tied to the shoe. And it would be a light that would show them every step they would take. But a light unto their path was something they could see in the distance. That's why the Word of God is so precious, because it tells us what to do on our very next step, but also gives us plans for our future. The light of God. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful that in times like these, I mean, this year, we've already experienced it and already have had to make decisions with our own family. I'm trying not to think about it too much. But Christmas is going to be different for a lot of us. But I'm thankful that 1 John 1:7 tells us this. Even though things are different, it doesn't take away the fact that the light is still here. And if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's the most important thing we need to remember this year, is the fact that we may not be able to get to our friends and family, but the fact that we're saved and the fact that our family's saved, it gives us assurance that one day we can spend eternity forever. And in that day, we won't need a light, because He's the light. A few years ago, many of you remember, and can you guys come and get a song prepared? Many of you remember when we had that terrible ice storm. And I wish I would have thought enough to put stock in generator companies. We're all prepared for that now, aren't we? But it was something that we'll never, ever forget. I remember Angie and Todd talking about when we finally got back to the office and how it was total darkness. You could hear everything, and trees were breaking, and they would wonder if the next tree that would break would fall on their house. Everyone was fearful of that, and the forest that lost so many trees. And after everything had subsided, and we got back kind of to some normal living and started driving, and I was driving back home from a revival one day, and I was coming back home on 52. And was going to hit 73 to go home. And there's a church over in South Portsmouth. And it's where the Harvest Chapel School is. And years ago, a man put a cross up on the hill. And in the summer, sometimes you couldn't see it because the trees would block its view. But at night, that cross would light up. And so many times I would drive by there, and many of you have seen the same cross lit up on top of the hill. And so I've seen it a lot. I didn't think too much of it, other than the fact that it's a beautiful cross and it shines. You can see it from a far distance on a clear night. But this night was different. And I was driving by and thinking about all the destruction that was going on and how dark it was and how maybe things would never be the same back then. It was just things were changing, and then the destruction of the ice storm. And I was driving home and I looked up and I saw the cross on top of that hill. Number one was still lit up, and number two, it was still standing. Even though there were hundreds of trees that surrounded that cross that were broken, they were battered, they would never probably grow back to where they were that same way again. The destruction all around it, but yet the cross was still lit up and the cross was still standing. And the Holy Spirit came down in my car that night and reminded me, no matter how dark it gets, no matter the destruction around us, no matter how evil the world is, the light of the cross is still shining and the cross will always stand. Aren't you thankful that the day spring has come to visit us? He gives us light in darkness, light in death, and light for direction. And if you need help in any of those areas tonight, if you need the Lord, if you need direction, I'm going to invite you to come.